And gentlemen, once again, it is my privilege to introduce or to reintroduce the keynote address speaker for last night. He'll be addressing you under the title of An Argentinian's View of the New Pope. Ladies and gentlemen, Reverend Father Pio Espina.
So we have the title of the President Conference, An Argentinian's View of the New Pope. It is not much I think I can provide about this topic. It is so much already talked and discussed everywhere in internet forums and so on. I would like to begin with a kind of prophecy made by an American bishop, Fulton Sheen, but I think it became true in our times. This bishop said, "The devil will found a contrary church, which will be like the monkey of the real church, because the devil is the monkey of God. This church of the devil will have all the characteristics of the real church, but in the reverse, and empty of its divine content. It will be the mystical body of the Antichrist." So similar externally to the mystical body of Christ. Then a paradox will be verified. The same objections with which men of the last century refused the church will be the same by which they will accept the contrary church. Until here, the quotation of Bishop Fulton Sheen. When Bergoglio was elected as a pope, I was in my land, in Patagonia, with part of my family and Fray Pio, which is the Franciscan Capuchin who lives with us and works with us. We were passing some holidays in a property that belongs to my parents, to my family. This property, as I said, is in Patagonia. It is a kind of far west of Argentina. So the closest town is 80 miles away. There is no telephone, no good roads. So it is real, the end of the world. As Bergoglio said when he was elected. So I was born there. So I like it. We know about the date of the conclave, so I turned on a radio receptor, an old one that didn't work very well, but I could find a place in which they were giving the news. A pope was elected. An Argentinian pope was elected. The Cardinal of Buenos Aires, Jorge Bergoglio. We really were astonished. It was a big surprise. We didn't imagine that an Argentinian would ever be Pope, and in this case very painful and shameful for us, because we never thought that an Argentinian would ever be an usurper of the throne of St. Peter. Later on we knew that Bergoglio had been the second in majority of votes when Ratzinger was elected. We are not in the present time in this situation. We are not in the situation of thinking that this election was because of casualty. We positively know that the Holy Ghost is not longer in these conclaves anymore. And we also know that these people who are in the govern of this new church are there in order to destroy the true church of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we must also know that this man, Bergoglio, was elected to be in the seat of Peter to continue this same plan of destroying the Church of Christ. But we can ask to ourselves, why this man? This is a question that I don't dare to answer categorically. What I can say is that Bergoglio was taking classes of Italian language a few months before he was elected. Why? What a coincidence. According to what he said, he wanted to retire because of his age, 1 or 2 years ago, and Ratzinger, Benedict XVI, didn't accept his resignation. And after that he begins to learn Italian. He must have known about his future election long ago already. The election of this man, of this Cardinal Jorge Mario Bergoglio, from the merely human point of view, it is totally incomprehensible. In a moment in which for the frailty of oldness, illness, sickness or whatever, Ratzinger had to resign, as a result of it, we have a person in his 76 years old who in times even speaks with difficulty because of a disease of one of his lungs. He's the one who was elected in replacement of Ratzinger to be in the See of Peter. Is this the man of physical and spiritual strength who is coming to do what Ratzinger couldn't? For another side, he doesn't know many languages, as they say it is necessary. He isn't neither a charismatic character, as we could say John Paul II was. He was like an actor of movies, you know. In a world that is managed by the TV, the screen wasn't favorable to him, at least before his election. Who knew Bergoglio before his election? But he is cunning. He has demonstrated it by changing of political band when it was necessary. But his diplomacy wasn't enough to keep good relation with the Argentinian government, neither to avoid that our country was one of the first, in South America at least, to approve the law of homosexual matrimony. That is to say, he has very little of what several cardinals said publicly it was necessary for the new Pope to have. Nonetheless, the conclave, has chosen him to sit in the chair of Peter. And with regard to the TV screen, recently I said it wasn't favorable to him before his election, but after, we open the everyday is news, and we have something of the new Pope. So we come to Bergoglio's popularity. It is very interesting to see this man's popularity. Before his election, I said he was nobody. But in the Roman night of the 13th of the last March, when Bergoglio appeared in the loggia of the Basilica of St. Peter, wearing some, because they were not all of them, of the papal paraments, it began a new age in the relation between the papacy and the massive media. Indeed, he hadn't retired there from there yet when all the media began to praise the Pope. The Pope from the end of the world, as he called himself in his first speech. And everything of this was before Francisco Bergoglio had showed anything, or almost anything, because he had already refused the Musetta, which is one of the papal paraments. The common sense deeply shows us that behind of all the praises and congratulations that have rained on Bergoglio from that day to the present, it can be gazed a pre-existent plan to the conclave. Because otherwise, what is the reason for the enemies of the Church, who are those who lead the media and the agencies of news, and who have imposed to the entire world an anti-evangelic way of life? What is the reason, we say, they can have to clap and praise every single movement he does? And we can say that every single movement he does, it is a very studied one. So, if those who run the news agencies and lead the media have not converted, not desisted of their plan of destruction of the miserable rest of Christianity, so this love for the new Pope means something. Means that this new Pope is placed there to destroy the rest of Christianity. After that, I would like to list some of the marks and points of this man, Bergoglio. We know that Bergoglio doesn't like anything whatever can be called traditional. It is said, for example, that in the archdiocese in Buenos Aires, they did not let the priest to wear cassocks. In any case, we must remember his first public act as a pope, when he appeared in the St. Peter's balcony without musetta and without stole. When they were about to put the musetta on him, he said, "No, the carnival has already finished." When Ratzinger promulgated the Summorum Pontificum, in which he allowed the traditional Mass to be freely celebrated, it was the innovated Mass of the 60s, of course, one of the first archbishops in the world to erect an extraterritorial parish for the attendance of those faithful who were attached to the traditional Mass was Bergoglio. But what happened? The joy of those conservative people became very soon sadness, because the chaplain, the priest for the traditional Mass, began to celebrate it according to his particular way, his particular wish, not following any rubrics at all, and all of it with the approval of Mr. Cardinal Bergoglio. When these conservative people sent letters of complaining for this situation, he didn't pay attention to it. And now, recently, we knew that the modernist but conservative Franciscan congregation there in Argentina, which has a see in Buenos Aires, was forbidden for His Holiness to celebrate the Latin Mass unless particular permission is given by the competent authorities. So with regard to his friends, there is a saying in Spanish, I don't know in English, but more or less the translation would be, tell me with whom you are, and I will tell you who you are. Bergoglio has been publicly in synagogues, and with that, we don't only refer in company with the member of the synagogue, but also he has been in their celebrations, participating with them. In 2012, for example, we have Bergoglio assisted to the Januka, a Jewish celebration in a synagogue in Buenos Aires. In his own biography, whose name is The Jesuit Conversation with the Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio, we can read, short ago I was in a synagogue participating in a ceremony, and while I was doing so, I heard a phrase from the Book of Wisdom. O Lord, let me keep my silence when they jeer on me. And this phrase gave me much peace and joy, he said. His Jewish gestures are countless. He also is publicly friend of Rabbi Bergman and Rabbi Alejandro Abruch, both of them very important rabbis in Buenos Aires. The first one, for example, Rabbi Bergman, was one of the first to receive the phone call of Franciscus after his election with occasion of the coronation. And to Rabbi Alejandro Abruch, he lent the Metropolitan Cathedral of Buenos Aires for the Christian-Jewish celebration of the Night of the Broken Glasses, which is in commemoration of the Jewish victims of the Nazis. So, you maybe know that in 1994 there was an attack to a building of a Jewish association in Buenos Aires. This association is the AMIA, Asociación Mutual Israelita Argentina. Someone put an explosive there and the building blew up. So there were several dead. Bergoglio went to visit this association and he declared, this attempt against the AMII was another link to the chain of pain and persecution that the people of God have suffered in the history. One of the first things that I heard on the radio down there in Patagonia after the election of the Bergoglio was the greetings and regards that the Jewish communities in Argentina sent to His Holiness to congratulate him for his election. With regard to syncretism and failed ecumenism, during 2006 there was a meeting, an ecumenical meeting, between Protestants and Catholics in Buenos Aires. In this meeting was present the Franciscan priest Father Cantalamessa, who was the preacher of the Pontifical House during Ratzinger. In this meeting was present Bergoglio also, and he, after saying to the present 700 people, Protestant and Catholics, ask all of them to pray for him. This is a practice that he has. He received the blessing from the Protestant pastors. Also in 2006, Jorge Bergoglio gave his blessing to the Argentinian Parliament of Religion. This is an organization made by the Masonry with the purpose of obtaining the union of religion in the plurality and fraternity. In his extraordinary interreligious activity, he doesn't forget the Muslims. We can remember the visit he made in Cordoba, Argentina, to the Islamic Center during the year 2010, where he expressed his happiness for the strengthening of the dialogue between Catholics and Muslims in the country. He said, "I come as a brother to become closer to you. We have to guard that essence that we have in our lives, what is God, and we have to give testimony about that in the service of the brethren." This is also confirmed by what he said in the Angelus on August 12th, already being Pope. Bergoglio said in this prayer of the Angelus, "I would like to send greetings to the Muslim of all around the world, our brethren, who not long ago have celebrated the conclusion of the Ramadan, which is dedicated in a particular way to the fast, prayers and alms. As I have written in my message in the occasion of this event, I wish that Christians and Muslims compromise themselves in the promotion of the mutual respect, especially through the education of the new generations." With regard to abortionists, homosexualists and others, this kind of people, promoters of abortion, contraception, divorce, and of the pseudo-matrimony between two persons of the same sex, promoters also of the free consumption of drugs, were discovered educating children in a parish under the sponsorship of Cardinal Jorge Bergoglio. But even though all these things and countless of other things that we don't have time to say, what is decisive in this man is that he professes, diffuses and even imposes the heresies of the Vatican II and its derived products, for example, the Mass of Montini, Paul VI, the canon law of Wojtyla, John Paul II, the failed ecumenism of Assisi, and all the rest in the long, very long list. What was the reaction of the people in Argentina with the election of Bergoglio? There was, yes, a big reaction of the people. The majority, let's say, the common of the people were, as you can imagine, very happy, very proud of the new Pope, because we have an Argentinian Pope, you know. Most of it because of a kind of nationalism, not for religiosity. You know, for example, when we are in the street, people greet us or congratulate us. "Oh yes, Father, we have now an Argentinian Pope and blah, blah, blah," no? And you must, most of the time, have to just shut your mouth, because usually you cannot say anything to these people. So I have heard, for example, that after the election of Bergoglio, there is a lot of more people going to Mass on Sunday. But as I said, and now I repeat, most of it is because the new Pope is an Argentinian. Because, for example, if you ask these people, or me, or the same people of the day of Jove in Brazil, there was a big attendance of people in Brazil. If you ask about abortion, or about divorce, or about whatever or other issues, they are always the same. They are not converted. They are just like, you know, the way of this Argentinian Pope, the festive way of this Argentinian Pope. For another side, we can say that the conservatives people do not like him. When I say conservative, I am referring to those who, being modernist, they like the Gregorian chant, the Latin mass, and they try to keep some attitudes as it was before. You know, the covering of the heads in, and the skirts for women in church, etc. In fact, they tried to defend Benedict XVI, Ratzinger, saying that this pope was more traditional, trying to get back in many things of the liturgy, freeing the Mass in Latin and using the Musetta also, which Bergoglio refused to use. So we have these people that not only don't like him, but also criticize him very hardly, but they, even knowing that Bergoglio is destroying the church, recognize him as His Holiness. What was really interesting to see was that, for example, people and even priests who belonged to the Society Pius X and now are out of it, they say that the modern church, with the election of Bergoglio, has really showed his wickedness and malice. What I have asked one of these persons was, just now and never before, what happened with Paul VI and his new mass more than 30 years ago? What happened with John Paul II and his meeting with other religions in Assisi in 1986 to pray God for peace? What God? But peace. There is only one God, not many, and there is only one possible peace, which is, as St. Thomas says, the tranquility in the order, which is not what the world says to be the peace. We are not in peace now. Peace is not only lack of wars, it is furthermore than this. We live in a world without the real peace. And you tell me, now, only now, just now, not never before, the modern church has showed its wickedness. I don't believe so. A person also told me that once the superior of the Latin American district of the Society Pius X met Bergoglio, being still cardinal. And he said, Bergoglio said to this priest, referring to the society, "You are the hope of the re-establishment of the church." Can we imagine someone more modernist? Of course, this priest was very proud of the word of Mr. Cardinal. Then we have the traditional faithful who really think that he is an antichrist, a very cunning person who was elected to continue and give more strength to the destruction of the Church of Christ. He is really a complete fruit of the Vatican II. He was ordained a priest under the new rite. He was consecrated as a bishop under the new rite, and we know all the difficulties that this concerns. So as soon as Bergoglio was elected, he changed his face. One of the faithful in Cordoba let me know that. She said to me, haven't you seen, Father, that Bergoglio, as a Pope, is always smiling? Before he never did. Before he never had this smile in his face. And that is very true. You can see pictures of him as a cardinal, and he always had a very bitter face. And when he smiled, it was very notorious that he was forced to do it. In fact, now, the Cardinal of Buenos Aires, who is in replacement of Bergoglio, said as a joke that he remembered while he was companion of Bergoglio, he said to him, try to make a better smile for the picture, you know, you are going to ruin it. So, in fact, when he was in Brazil for the gathering of the youth, he was asked by a journalist why he was always smiling now, because before he never did. Then he answered, because now is more amusing. Very interesting. So, his vulgarity in saying things are amazing. The use of neologism, we can say Argentinism, are not the proper way for a Pope to speak. It is clear that he was put there to destroy the image and the dignity of the papacy with his vulgarity. In fact, but I think that I repeat it, what is decisive in this man is that he professes, he diffuses, and he imposes the heresy of the Vatican II. So, I would like to end with the reminding of this kind of prophecy that the devil will found a contrary church. He has already founded it, which will be like the monkey of the real church. Now we are living it. We are living. The modern church is the monkey of the real church, and we, as part of the real mystical body of Christ, we have to pray and to make reparation for, as Fatima said, Our Lady Fatima said, at the end, my Immaculate Heart will triumph. So thank you very much.